I'm Chaplain Karen Eden. For years, I worked as a TV reporter and journalist, covering the stories assigned to me. Today, I'm on a different assignment, and I'm taking orders from a different boss. I've combined my reporting skills with my spiritual ability to come up with a new assignment, the Eden Assignment. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Eden Assignment. I am Karen Eden. I got to tell you a little bit of a secret about me, and that is the fact that I actually don't like conflict. Now, I know people find that hard to believe because I am a very direct person, and I don't like to take a lot of crap. I usually will let that be known. In spite of all of that, I really am someone who really doesn't care for conflict. If I can run and get out of a situation, I probably will. I probably will. But, I mean, if it gets to the point that, you know, I'm going to have to turn around and stand up for myself or for someone else that I feel like I need to stand up for, now I can be pretty warrior-fied. Pretty brave, I guess you could say. But that's not something that has always been the case for me, where I would actually stand up if I had to stand up. Even if I had to stand up. I think it's something you kind of grow into as the years continue to go on by. I think you have a certain type of confidence, and then when it comes to the point where you have children, whew, man, you will stand up for them in a heartbeat. Mama Bear knows all about that, right? You will stand up for your kids for sure, and that just lets you know that sometimes in life you're going to have to do that. But today I want to talk to you a little bit about learning not to run. Learning not to run. It takes a certain type of spiritual maturity, guys, to run towards something that's hard and not to run away from it. Running toward the hardship, running toward the suffering, running toward the self-sacrificing, as opposed to running away from it, learning not to run. You guys know that I was in the TV business for a good 25 years, broadcasting, counting radio and TV, about 25 years. And that's why I have this program called the Eden Assignment, because it's kind of a take on that, where I'm not doing assignments for somebody else. I'm doing my own assignment on behalf of the man upstairs, Father God, and it's assignments that I feel like people need to hear. And I feel like I'm in my calling when I do it. And so, you know, I want to talk to you a little bit about the way it was, though, when I was doing assignments for television. I've worked for more than one affiliate, NBC. My last contract was with Fox News. I've had some national hits. I did pretty good. I did okay. But there's one thing I always hated in that business, and it's the deadline pressure. Now, typically, because I was a meteorologist, I didn't have to do any hard news, what we call A-block news, the really hard news, because, you know, it's just too hard to do that and turn around and do the weather. You know, it's, hi, everybody, sunny today. It's just too hard of a segue, we call it, a segue. So typically the weather person isn't going to have to do any hard news, but sometimes they will make that weather person cover like feature stories, which I loved, and that was no problem. But when it came to doing hard news, the news of the day, where if it bleeds, it leads, and whatever you want to call it, once in a while I did get assigned to do it because they were short-staffed, or it's what they called all hands on deck. It doesn't matter what kind of reporter you are, we're going to put you in the field of deadline GA reporting, and that does happen. In the case of 9/11, that happened. I had to go out and do hard news. Sometimes, God forbid, if a plane crashes in your city, I mean, there are reasons where you would have to go hands-on hard news, even if that's not your normal beat, and I always hated it. Listen, I hated it, because there's something with it that is par for the course, and that's the deadline pressure. So you got to realize, for instance, you go in for what they call an editorial news meeting somewhere between 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon, depending on when you're having your evening news. So when I did East Coast news, typically the news would come on at, what, 6 o'clock? And sometimes they had like Fox or whatever would have like a 9 o'clock newscast or a 10 o'clock newscast. And you know, the West Coast, it's a little different. They, you know, as opposed to the 6 o'clock news, some of the stations out here, they come on at 4 or whatever. It just depends. But typically when you come in for that 8 to 10 hour shift every day, you start off with an editorial meeting right off the bat. And that's where you get into a discussion with the rest of the news team of how that newscast is going to be formulated or what you're going to have to go out and report on. It's an editorial meeting. You know, and so when you come in and do your shift, let's say you're doing a 9 o'clock newscast, so you have a 2 o'clock editorial meeting. That editorial meeting goes 30 to 45 minutes. You get your assignment, you go out to your desk and you do your setup work, a lot of phone calls, that kind of thing. And you're hoping that somebody will call you back in a timely manner. Because if nobody calls you back and you've got to cover a story, you can really get screwed over of at the very, very last minute trying to get a story in and trying to turn it and get it in production and ready to turn for the newscast. So, you know, you kind of sit there and sweat until somebody calls you back. And so if, you know, let's say somebody did call you back within the next hour or whatever, then you know you have to go out and you have to get a photog assigned with you. You go out in the vehicle and you meet this person and you do the interview, and then you do, the photographer will be doing the filming for the cutaways and the interview and everything you're going to need to put together what we call a package. This is important. I want you to know what I'm talking about with deadline pressure. Okay, so these packages take all day to shoot, to produce. You got pre-production, production, post-production, blah, 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 and literally it boils down to about a minute and a half. I'm not kidding. A minute and 20 seconds is a standard package. If you're going to what we call wrap around it, where they go live to you, then they show your pre-produced package, and then they close out with you, maybe you'll have a minute and a half to 2 minutes total. That's it. All that stress, all that pressure, all that running around for a minute and a half. A minute and a half. But things have to time and flow a certain way, or, you know, you're going to get backed up against the wall because the newscast is always live. It's a live newscast, and you have to be positioned at a certain place at a certain time. And if you're not positioned at that time, you're going to miss the opening to be able to for them to go live to you. On top of that, you have to look pretty good. Your hair has to be in place, you know. You have to be dressed right, rain, snow, sleet, or hell. I mean, some people thrive on that business. I didn't care for that type of reporting, but I did have to do it. Man, I mean, I didn't sleep all night when I thought I had to do that kind of reporting because it was just, you had to have a certain kind of wit about you to go out, know what kind of questions to ask and how to catch people at the right time. It's a lot. It's a deadline pressure job. All right, now that you know what I'm talking about with a deadline pressure job, now you can understand what I'm talking about is why I would want to run away from a job like that. But more than once, I had to learn to run toward it and embrace it, no matter how difficult I may have felt like that particular story was going to be for that day. Let me give you another example. In martial arts, you know, as instructors, we have the students during test time that break boards. These are real boards. I say this all the time. You usually go to Home Depot, Lowe's, whatever. You purchase the wood. They cut it for you. You don't know how hard it's going to be, usually, until the night of the test. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, this wood is so hard. These kids are just panicking over breaking this wood. It's not breaking. But here's the deal. Nobody gets a pass if their board doesn't break. It doesn't matter how hard it is. Sometimes that wood is hard. It just isn't cured right or whatever. If you don't break that, get a pass. You don't get to pass your test. Guess what? A good teacher, a good instructor will say, here's your board. You take it home with you. Next week, we're going to try in front of class for you to break the board. If you don't break the board, take it home with you. Sleep with it. We don't care. You come back, you break the board. You have to break that board, ladies and gentlemen. I'll tell you why. You're doing the student such a major disfavor by telling them they don't have to break that board. Because then they go through their life thinking that they don't have to break the board. And yes, no matter how difficult life gets, you must break that board. No matter how hard life gets, you have to break that hard board. It's the same principle, the same ideology, which is why you must break those boards. Which is why the board break gets more difficult with every test. So my last and final test, I believe that I actually had to break a board, I believe was third Dan to fourth Dan, which would have been the rank of master. No, that wasn't the hardest. I actually chose to break a board from fourth Dan to fifth Dan, which is above the rank of master. That's five black belts where I was going to break two cement slabs. Done it before, it was no problem, but just to give you an idea, the ideology behind breaking the wood has to do with mind over matter and focusing through a particular object, a particular issue or problem in life. You've got to learn to see through it. That is the meaning of breaking the board. And this goes back to teaching not to run from your problem. Seeing some good stuff today. I'm saying some really good stuff today. I hope you're grasping what I'm saying. Learning not to run. It does take a particular spiritual maturity to do that. Even more so, let me go a little bit further with this. I'm going to preach now, so turn it off if you don't want to hear me. In my book of books, the Holy Bible, Jesus Christ does say, and I'm paraphrasing it, but he's basically saying, don't run from suffering. Embrace it, because this is the way you can find yourself. My way is for you to embrace the suffering so you can find yourself. Again, I'm paraphrasing that. It is a teaching in the book of Luke, chapter 9. But anyway, it's very important to understand that you will find yourself when you don't run from problems and you try to embrace them. Now, I'm sitting here telling you all this stuff, and ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you right now, I still struggle with it. I have some issues in my life right now that have been there, but just some of them, if I look at them, staring at me for more than a year, maybe 2 years, relational issues, maybe with some family members and that kind of thing that I know I'm going to have to figure out. I'm going to have to run towards it instead of running away from it, and I'm not looking forward to it. Believe it or not, I don't get along with everybody in my family, as you probably don't. Come on now, tell the truth. Martial arts people, especially us, we're very headstrong. We don't necessarily see eye to eye with a lot of people. I don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody in my family. I just don't particularly get along with a lot of people. Well, a particular amount of people in my family. And I'd rather stay away from them. You know, if they don't want to send me a card or a present for Christmas, I'm actually fine with that. I'm good. I'm okay. I actually would do okay. But you know what? I know in spiritual maturity that's not correct, and there comes a point in the time I'm going to have to deal with these issues. I cannot let them go on and on and on, because in doing so, I will be able to find myself. I will be able to have the discovery of knowing who I am and what I'm capable of doing. You see, just like breaking that board where there's two cement slabs, have to do it, because that's a little bit of discovery about me, about how strong I really am. If you're in a situation where you're having a job right now, I met a gentleman today, went to get some work done on my car, and he was in a terribly bad mood. We're test driving my car. I'm finally like, well, what's really wrong? You know, something I can help you with. It's just a counselor in me coming out, and he's talking about how hard his job is, how much he hates it, and how much he would like to switch over or maybe go to a different type of company or whatever. And, you know, I mean, I totally get it. I've had more than one job I hated. I couldn't stand them, as most of us have. But what I've learned, or I'm trying to do, is run toward the issue and not away from it. If you're going to leave the company anyway, sit down and have a talk with that owner or boss or manager and say, listen, I'm thinking about leaving this company, but if we can work it out, I'd like to stay. But here's what's going on, and you can see my frustration. Now, what do you say? It would be better to do it that way than to just leave. It would be better to do that way. Why? Even though it's easier to leave, it's better to have the confrontation before you leave, because you're discovering a piece of yourself that you need to know about that suffering. about why you had to go through it. Why was it on your stage? Why was it on your plate? And how can you get through it correctly? If you have to say goodbye, then do it properly. If you have to, you know, go your separate ways, there's a right way to go your separate way. In martial arts, you know, we have a right way to separate. Teachers and students separate all the time. Sometimes they move. Sometimes they have to quit over health reasons or financial issues. It doesn't matter. There's a proper way to say goodbye, and that is to go and talk to your instructor and face them and confront them with what's up. The worst thing you can do is just go ghost. I hate when students ghost. I mean, I've been teaching or having my own school or having my own class since well in the 90s, since way, way back in the 90s, I should say, and I've had students that have ghosted me. I don't know why. I've called them. I've tried to figure out. I could go back well into the early 90s. What happened? Left them voicemails? No, I heard nothing. I will never know what happened. I've had people that have trained with me for years and years and years and years. I've promoted them, took them under my wing, and they ghost me. Well, why? You need to tell me what's up. What's going on? Why are you going on your own? If you are, there's a right way to do that and a wrong way to do that. See, you're not just doing yourself a disfavor. You're doing the other partner a disfavor. A lot of times I'll go in, especially this day and age, a restaurant or a store, and I'm very unhappy with the customer service or the food that I got or whatever. You won't see me go on social media and bad talk them or bad mouth them. I will actually request to see the manager, or I will go home and I will call that manager and I'll say, listen, I've been a manager. I know I've been in your shoes, and I know that you would rather have me come talk to you directly and fix this than have me go talk bad about you to my acquaintances and on social media. And they'll always say, oh, yes, I would rather you come to me. Well, here's the problem I'm having. This is what happened. And they usually will fix it, and they're very grateful that you give them a chance to fix it. Now, you wouldn't know that unless you've been in management. But I'm telling you, there's a right way to handle conflict. Don't run from it and be mad and post nasty things. Run toward it. Go to the top and fix it. I mean, if they're going to be indignant about it, well, then you go to social media. I don't know. I mean, but give them a chance. Give them a chance so they can fix things. A lot of times they don't know these things. Don't run. Learn not to run, guys. You know, they say that about us women all the time, right? When there's an issue in relationships, the woman just goes quiet, goes silent. The guy asks, well, what's wrong? Nothing. Sometimes you don't hear from them. Sometimes forever. They go forever if they're not in any kind of committed relationship. And then the dude's standing there, well, what the heck did I do? You're doing them a disfavor too. Was he an a-hole? Well, tell him. Tell him he was an a-hole. Maybe he'll do better next time. Maybe he'll come to you and say, look, I'm sorry, I didn't realize. Listen, you got to not run from the hard stuff. Run toward it. Don't run away from it. You'll never know what you're made of, and you're doing greater disfavors by not trying to fix something. And again, I'm sitting here telling you this, and I still have issues with it. Because it does take a spiritual maturity, and I'm still a student. I'm not learning at all, but I do know what the truth is, and I'll get there. I'll get there. We're on a journey. It's a process, right? The spiritual journey is a process. But I'm letting you know what I know to be the truth. Allow me once in a while to be your coach and do as I say, not as I do. But I am telling you very truthful things. In all of my wisdom, this is the way to go. When it comes to anything, relationships that are causing you hardship and suffering, when it comes to finances, when it comes to predicaments or whatever in your life and in your world, don't run the other way. When they tell you you're going to have to do GA reporting and you're a news TV reporter and it's deadline pressure and you hate it, run toward it. Just take one bite at a time, one little bite at a time. You'll get through it. Trust that you have everything that you need to get through your hard stuff, guys. Trust that you have everything you need. If it's on your stage and on your plate, you've got to go for it. You've got to tackle it. And just trust that you've got everything you need to make it work. Learning not to run. All right, guys, that's my story. I'm sticking to it. I'd like to plug October the 1st through 3rd. I'll be speaking at the Power of Women Conference in Houston at the Sport Karate Museum. Contact Gary Lee if you're interested in going. Hope you can go. We are celebrating women, but it won't just be women. There are a lot of men are speaking as well. It's a good time. I love this show. Love seeing my sisters. Power of Women in Houston, October 1st through 3rd. Hope you can make that. Got some other things going on, but then I'm not going to say anymore because things may be changing here. You know, get into the fall, the COVID and the blah, 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 blah. People are all, you know, it's just chaos and confusion. So I know for sure that one's got up and running. There are others, but I'm not going to talk about them. I'm just going to talk about that one for sure. See, Gary Lee, if you'd like to go to Houston, October the 1st through 3rd. You guys be sure to check out my four books if you like my inspiration and you like what I'm saying here. I got more, four books out there. Just Google Master Karen Eden, Martial Arts Karate Books. They're all out there. Available Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, and Century Martial Arts. What else? I appreciate you reading my magazine columns every month and listening to this blog, which is posted on the Eden Assignment Group Facebook page. Yes, sir. Listen, we're going to keep this journey going, okay? Keep your head above water. Don't believe everything you hear out there. I was in that business. I can tell you that sensationalism is a big ratings grabber, and so there are a lot of companies out there in media that will sensationalize. They want to get you scared because then you're going to follow them. See what I mean? And that's just the tip of the iceberg. I don't have time to go into everything. But don't believe everything you hear. You know, have that sense inside of you, that inner peace, that you can make judgment calls, good judgment calls. We all are the accumulation of our experiences. So know that the right experiences were put in your path at the right time to get you where you are today, and you're going to be okay. You won't die. You will survive. You will thrive. You'll do good no matter what. Can you believe it? I hope you can believe it. That's it, guys. God bless you. We'll see you next time on the Eden Assignment. Bye-bye.